Hello and welcome to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. At Emmanuel Croydon, we exist to be a community drawn together by our desire to know and follow Jesus. We long to become disciples of Jesus who are equipped to serve him in the whole of life, transforming families, communities and workplaces as we love God with heart, mind, soul and strength. We hope you enjoy this week's talk from the evening service. Thank you for joining us today. Grace and peace to you.
What a wonderful start to our evening of prayer and worship. We're going to look, as I said at the start, at the passage of James in little chunks throughout the evening. So we've already looked at verse 13 as Stu has led us there through that. And so I do encourage you, if you can see your Bible or if you can see it on a device, to look up James chapter 5. And we're looking at verses 14 and 15. Can you turn the lights down a little bit, guys? Thank you. Verses 14 and 15, let's look at them together. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray, is what it said at the top of verse 13. Verse 14, is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. So we've already learned from James, as we've been looking at it in recent weeks, how to use our tongues. There's the lowest ways of using them: complaining, swearing, cursing, gossiping. And tonight we're looking at the highest ways that we can use our tongues: proclaiming God's word, praying, and praising God. We've already been doing that this evening. We've been using our tongues to praise God. Hopefully there hasn't been too much complaining and swearing going on in the pews, because we've been praying, and we've been praying steadfastly in praise. So moving on to our second section here, pray steadfastly when you are sick. So when should we pray? We should pray when life is good and our health is good, and we should pray when life is tough. We all have days of struggle. Some of us, it feels a lot more days of struggle than days of joy. How do we face those? James says we should pray. I saw on my Instagram feed that Davina McCall, I don't know if you saw her post this week, she had surgery on a brain tumor. And she posted the fact she was going in for this surgery on social media. And she ended the post saying, "Say a prayer for me." It's our human instinct to pray when we're in trouble. But you know, sometimes as Christians, it's also our human instinct not to pray. Sometimes we forget to do so, or it's quite far down our list. James says, no, pray. So verse 14 talks about what to do when we get sick. It says, call the elders of the church. Well, in another place, in another letter, Paul defines the elders as those who preach and teach. In other words, those who are your church leaders, to come and pray for you. That's probably not something we automatically do, is it? It feels as if it's a bit too much bother to pick up the phone to John and say, John, can you come over and pray? It's like he's so busy, and you know, but these are people God's given us to lead us, and we trust them to be people of integrity who walk closely with him. Therefore, we ask those people, those mature Christians, to come and pray for us. Now, there's a lot I could say on this, but we're actually doing little chunks of teaching, so I want us to take three things away from this section this evening. First of all, when you get ill, don't put prayer last, put prayer first. And ask others to pray for you and with you. It is our church leaders, all of us who are leaders in the church, it is our delight to pray for you and with you. please don't hesitate to ask. And for those in our prayer ministry each week, it is their joy to pray for you as well. So ask for prayer. Secondly, this is hard teaching, isn't it? Because healing doesn't always happen. James is very confident here. But unanswered prayer is something that's part of our walk as believers, and it hurts us. As Greg reminded us last week, when we trust God, we believe he is sovereign over our lives, and we give our lives to him. We trust his will. But you know, I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, we can't trust God if we don't know him well. So then I looked back through James at what we've learned about what God is like, and this is what I took out. Where he talks directly, he says, God gives generously to all without finding fault. God has promised a crown of life to those who love him. He says there's nothing evil in God. He says God's priorities are those who are poor and on the margins of society. Praise God that we have a God like that. God wants to give us what will help us. He says God will come near to us when we come near to him. And he says God will lift us up as we humble ourselves. This is the God whose will we seek to trust when we pray for healing or when we ask for prayer. So it's good to remind ourselves of who he is. So don't put prayer last, put it first. Remember, healing doesn't always happen, but we have a good God. And thirdly, it's up to us to ask for prayer. Look at verse 14. The one who is sick calls the elders. Let them call the elders of the church. It's up to us to initiate the prayer. This isn't something you can expect your church leaders to discern about you when they're preaching on a Sunday, especially if they can't see you. But listen, it says here, let them call the elders of the church. It's saying basically, it's us who asks for prayer. Why do you think? That's so hard, isn't it? It's so hard. But when we do that, we humble ourselves. We act in faith and humility. As we ask for prayer, as we ask someone to pray for healing, we're vocalizing our reliance on God and accepting he's the one we need. We're going to have prayer ministry available at the back of the church as we take communion this evening. And as always, you can ask at our prayer ministry for anything. But tonight we're also going to have a time when you can especially receive prayer and anointing for healing. I'll talk more about how that will work after our next section of teaching. You know, one of the most encouraging things for our faith as Christians is to hear testimonies from each other, particularly testimonies of healing. So we've asked Lydia to come and tell us her story about healing. Thank you, Lydia.
Hello, good evening. Some of you may know me and may know my story, and some of you might not. So for those of you who don't know, about 2 years ago, I was in a really severe car accident where I was hit by a lorry on the motorway. And following that, I suffered in lots of ways, both physically and mentally, with PTSD, and that led to something called functional neurological disorder, where I had full body spasms as a result of the accident, with my nerves being overstimulated and coping with the trauma. This was only about 6 weeks after Sheridan and I got married, so it's fair to say it was not part of the plan. It was very frustrating. There was a lot of things that I couldn't do. Driving, I had to take a year off driving. And even actually at some points at the start, for certain, it was almost impossible to walk across the road. I was struggling even walking near a road, and I would just completely freeze in the middle of the road, which obviously was very unsafe. And then I didn't want to go out because I was scared of this. And also I struggled to get medical help straight away. It took quite a long time to get the help that I needed. Sometimes in those times when you feel so helpless, you just absolutely have no option than to rely on God and pray because you can't see another way forward. And that was certainly the situation that I found myself in. It's not always instant healing, and it wasn't for me in this time. Sometimes you pray and a little miracle happens, like you get to see the GP one day and it feels like a little bit of a win. And I found that I was able to celebrate those wins, and that really kept me going kept me moving forward. We chose the hymn at our wedding, "It Is Well With My Soul," as a reference to praising God whilst things were difficult, and I wasn't expecting to have to do that so soon on in our marriage, but it was really helpful to be reminded of that throughout the times, and listening to that was a great comfort for me. Just to maintain the perspective that God is good in the hard times, and praying for strength when it's hard to remember for the Spirit to help us, is how I got through those times. Some days it was, yes, I'm in pain, but I know God loves me. Yes, it's hard to walk today, but I know joy in my identity in Christ. Yes, I struggled to cross the road today because I had a panic attack, but he is the Prince of Peace. God has healed me. It wasn't an instant healing for me. And I know that God sometimes does heal people instantly. But for me, it was, I've still got an element to go as well. I'm a lot better than I was, but sometimes I don't have much energy. I didn't bounce back exactly how I was before, but I bounced somewhere else, so to speak. But with a new understanding that God was carrying me through. My situation changes, but God does not. He is unchanging. If he heals and comforts as he did, I know he can do that again and continue to do that for me. He is steadfast, and it's not in my own strength. And I'm so grateful that I didn't have to get better on my own or just pure resilience, but I prayed and prayed for him to carry me and carry me through, and he did. So I just want to encourage you that he did that for me, and he says that he wants to lift us upon wings like eagles. So I just wanted to say a little prayer for those who are suffering, who are sick, and whether that's mentally or physically, God can heal from the inside out. Lord, I thank you for this time together where we can come together in honesty with each other in the congregation, and we can lay out the fact that sometimes we've not had a good week, sometimes we've had a really hard time, sometimes we're sick, and we need you, we need your help, we need your strength, we need your Spirit. And I thank you that that is given freely to us, and it's freely for us to receive. I just pray for every person in here who is suffering, either mentally or physically, with their health right now, that you would just be with them and that you would just reveal your presence and help them to know that they're being carried through this difficult time. And it's not within their own strength that they have to get better on their own, but you are with them. You are the Prince of Peace. You are the God of healing, and you are the God of love. And I just pray for healing for all those who are suffering right now. Pray that they would know that they don't have to do anything to come into your presence, but they can just come exactly as they are, exactly as they are, and just know your presence and your love. Amen.
The next part of the passage that we'll be looking at, the end of chapter 5, is one that I've headlined, Praying Steadfastly About Sin, which might feel like a jarring turn after what we've just been saying, but actually it isn't. We've just been praising God that he is holy, and it's when we look at God's holiness that we realize how far short we fall if it weren't for Jesus. So we're going to be celebrating communion in a few moments. And that is the good news. So James continues to put his finger here on parts of our lives which don't very often get prayed about or maybe talked about. If we look at verse 15b, it says, if someone has sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. And verse 19, if we hop down to the end, brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring them back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of their ways will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. So there are three things I'd like us to take from this passage. First of all, if we look at 15b, sin can take a physical toll on us. We've already talked a little about praying for healing, and James talks in verse 15b about one of the lesser talked about parts why we may be sick. He says it might have been because of our sin. It's not a very 21st century thing to say, is it? But when we pray for healing, when we ask for prayer for healing, we might also ask God to bring to mind anything we've been persistently doing that has resulted in our illness, or something he might be teaching us through our illness. In verse 16, James says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. In other words, one of the ways we can open ourselves up to a place of healing is by keeping short accounts with each other, confessing our sins to each other, telling a good, strong Christian friend about the stuff you're struggling with, and praying for each other so that we may be healed. Secondly, in verse 19, part of being in a church family means we need to be on the lookout for each other spiritually. It's so anti-cultural to even suggest that someone has wandered away from the truth, let alone interfere, or rather, seek to bring them back. Yet, James says that's what we should be doing. The word he uses here for wandering from the truth is the one we translate as backsliding. It's slow, gradual spiritual decline, and it's a dangerous thing to close our eyes to as a church family. James says instead we need to bring the wanderers back. Now, how on earth do we do this without feeling and being hypocritical? I believe we ourselves walk closely with God. We live closely by his word. We pray for our friends. We pray for our friends. We pray for their spiritual health, and we have the courage to speak out when we see someone slipping away from their faith. That also means that as a church, we need places where we can know about how each other is doing spiritually. Maybe that's a home group or a spiritual mentor, for example. But our spiritual health is important. And thirdly, helping each other to get back on track spiritually is one of the greatest ways we can show love to each other. As we gently help each other, maybe warn each other, we're doing it so that our brothers and sisters in Christ will be restored and brought back to God. We should invest time praying about where God wants us to be encouraging each other as believers to stay strong. I wonder how often we do that. James literally says that drawing someone back into faith is a matter of saving them from death. Looking out for one another's spiritual health and praying for each other in this way is a fundamental part of outwards-looking prayer as a church and of spiritual health. Let me just go over those again. First, sin can take a physical toll. Secondly, part of being a church family means we need to be on the lookout for each other. And thirdly, helping each other to get back on track spiritually is one of the greatest ways we can show love to each other. We're moving into a time of communion now. Communion when we celebrate and remember what Jesus did for us. As part of this, David, who will be leading this part, will lead us in a prayer of confession in our liturgy. As I mentioned earlier, there's also going to be the prayer ministry and an opportunity to be anointed with oil and prayed for if you would like to be prayed for healing. So this is how it's going to work. You'll be invited to come forward and take communion to hear or to hear if you would like to do so. You can then choose to go to the back for prayer if you would like to do so. And you can either go to one of the two pairs of prayer ministry people for prayer, or you can go and ask for anointing if you would like that, so that you are asking for healing by doing so. Stu and the band will be leading us in song worship or helping us to praise, won't you, as we do this, just helping us to focus on the Lord as we go into this time. So let me pray, and then David will come and lead us towards communion. I think praying steadfastly about sin is a hard thing for us, Lord, and it feels like something uncomfortable. But, oh Jesus, it's because of our sin that you came to die. And it's because of what you did at the cross, taking our sin away, that we now have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. So please, Lord, minister to us through this time, through the prayer ministry and through the communion, and help us to continue to know your presence and your Holy Spirit here in this room, drawing us towards you. Amen. There's just a few more things I'd love to say as we come to the end of our service, and it's looking at the final part of James that we haven't looked at yet. Verses 17 and 18, and I've called this bit praying steadfastly for answers. Praying steadfastly for answers. It says, Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly it would not rain, and it didn't rain on the land again for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. I wonder if you've ever prayed and prayed for something. From the end of verse 15, James says, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. And he goes into talking about this example of Elijah as someone we can model ourselves on. He was a man who was not only confident in his prayer, but persistent. He prayed it would not rain, and he prayed again that it would stop. Sorry, it would start again. So we're told in this story in 1 Kings, Elijah kept sending his servant out to look. I don't know if you remember the story. He said, keep going and looking. And then he kept praying, go and look again. And eventually the man saw a cloud the size of a hand. Do you remember? And Elijah said, there's the answer to my prayer. I wonder how many times we haven't allowed God to answer our prayers because we haven't prayed in the first place, or because we've stopped praying. We've looked through this book of James at being steadfast. And being steadfast in prayer is something Scripture reminds us of again and again. You know, Alison shared a story this week when we were planning this service about someone called D.L. Moody, a preacher. And he prayed daily for 100 of his friends to come to know Christ. During his life, 96 of his friends became Christians. And at his funeral, the final 4 gave their lives to Christ. So don't give up praying, my friends. Stay steadfast in prayer. So now we're going to come to the end of our service, but we're going to do it gently and in your own time. And what we'd love to do as we finish is encourage you to pray for one another as you get ready to go into the new week. If you're happy to do so, If you would rather not, that's fine. If you're someone who looks across the church and sees someone you'd like to pray for, get up and go and pray for them. But turn to one another if you've got the courage and say, how can I pray for you this week? Let's finish our service by making this a house of prayer as we turn to each other and pray. Stu and the band are going to just continue to gently play, and you can praise God through their worship. Or if you would like to, you can go and get refreshments or make your way. But let's continue steadfastly in prayer as a church and as we go into this coming week.
Thanks for listening to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. For more information about our church and everything we have going on, visit our website, emmanuelcroydon.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to see and hear what's going on in the life of our church. God bless you and have a wonderful week.